What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Every Monday and Friday during the season and off season, for that matter, Ben Standig, our Washington Commanders team insider on this show, joins us. Ben's got a Substack column. I would urge you to subscribe to it. It's called Last Man Standig. He's got a podcast by the same name. He can be followed on X, on Twitter, at Ben Standig. Quick week this week before the Packers on the road Thursday night football to kick off week two, but we're still talking obviously here on this Monday about Washington's season opening win over the Giants 21-6. So I'll give you the floor. Give me your reaction to yesterday's game.
Yeah, you know, look, aesthetically it wasn't always the greatest showing, particularly with an offense that we saw last year, you know, just be so flashy and dynamic. They were, you know, they certainly did enough. But defensively, you know, look, one game is one game. We can't go too crazy yet. But for all the talk of, you know, that they're going to get these big men up front on the defensive line, that they've got, you know, more talent, more activity, all that. I mean, that really showed yesterday. 2022 Daron Payne was out there. Javon Kinlaw, the guy that Adam Peters signed to a 3-year deal and took a lot of heat for it. He was a wrecking ball for sure. Dorrance Armstrong, who, you know, last year had a good year, but really picked it up in the play in the postseason. He kept it up in camp. He kept that momentum going. And, everybody else in the defense kind of filled in from there. And, you know, that's easily to me the most, you know, positive sign. The Giants are kind of a mess on offense. They didn't have their best offensive lineman. I don't know if they have any real weapons other than Malik Nabers on offense, but whatever. They're an NFL team, and that's who they played, and Washington kept them, you know, rather quiet. So to me, the defense, particularly up front, the story of this game, it was obviously fun to see Deebo Samuel and Bill, and of course, you know, Jaden doing his things, but that defensive front, it's one game, but if that's anything close to what they continue to do, you know, this season could be, very, very interesting.
Yeah, I mean, it was the biggest single mystery. We knew that the personnel would look different, both, you know, in size-wise and jersey number-wise, we needed to see it in a real game. Now, I wonder how much you take into account how feeble the Giants were offensively, you know, kind of at quarterback for starters. I know that they were, missing their best offensive lineman, but Russell Wilson to me looks shot. What did he look like to you?
Well, as Daron Payne said post game, he said that Russell Wilson looked skittish at times, and I thought that was a good way to look at it. In fact, I was just watching some of the TV replay, and at one point, Tom Brady says that Russell Wilson looks unsure of himself in the backfield, as he should, considering the pressure that he was getting. So, you know, look, the Giants' offensive line has seemingly been bad for years, and then their record of that Andrew Thomas, their left tackle, is pretty abysmal, the way it was similar with, like, Brandon Scherff when he was always hurt here. So, you know, we'll see about that. But, yeah, the Giants were pretty terrible. But, look, you know, one thing I thought was underrated about last year was how it's not just that Washington was winning games, but when they were playing teams that they should win, they were crushing them. And, you know, this game, as we know, until they got that, Washington got that last touchdown, you know, still a one-score game. And, you know,
never felt like it.
Right. It was like, all right, could you end this thing already? But yeah, it they were in, you know, they were in control. So, you know, you have to, sometimes I feel like it's more impressive to go out and beat the teams handily you're supposed to than maybe pull a one off and get an upset, because it's, you know, you got to do it consistently. And this is something I think they did last year, and off to a good start in this one. And yeah, look, again, the Giants, a bit of a mess. There'll be a much sterner test Thursday against Green Bay, but, you know, division game, week one, the starters on either side of the ball barely played in the preseason, so you weren't quite sure what to get, but all things considered, that was a pretty good showing on both sides.
How'd you think Jaden played?
Well, I guess the bar is just so high that any time it's like, hey, the ball was catchable, but a little bit behind the guy. Come on, what are you doing? And then, you know, that happened two or three times. So for him, it was fine, but it was not, you know, we don't have to definitively put a lot of that into the highlight reel. But, you know, he was fine, looked comfortable. Was the timing off with Terry on that deep ball? I guess, you know, I mean, obviously he overthrows a little bit. Terry does the jab step inside. They never really quite seem to find his speed. It seemed to me going down the sideline. So maybe if they do practice in training camp, they get that going. But again, he and Debo look certainly on the same page as we saw all summer. You know, I said Debo was to me the most outstanding player of camp, and you saw why there, his ability to make plays down the field, you know, be electric with the ball in his hands. And, you know, Jaden had no issue there. And look, even like, you know, a guy like Chris Moore, who had been out, he'd been practicing with the team all summer. He'd looked good early in camp, but then he just had struggles to hold on to the ball. Jaden throws it perfectly to him, 34-yard gain in a big spot. So I think Jaden was fine, but again, the bar is just so stupid high that you know, when the ball's like, you threw it a little bit behind the guy. Come on, what are you doing? You know, that's kind of where we're at right now, which is obviously a great place to be.
We talked last week about the possibility that four running backs wouldn't be up. There were three. There may have been a reason for it at wide receiver. I'll let you explain it. But Kroski, Merritt over Chris Rodriguez, your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, that part of it was not surprising. I wrote the other day in the end of the week about how sort of the running back room, I think how they handle that will dictate a lot about the roster and how Washington sees this game. And, you know, I thought Rodriguez, if they only went three, would be the odd man out, that Bill, you know, at the time that Dan Quinn said Rodriguez would sort of get first shot at short yardage, you know, Bill was still dealing with a bit of a shoulder injury at that point. And, you know, it was still a couple weeks before the season. So, you know, look, I think Bill showed exactly what they were looking for. You know, every run you feel like he's on the verge of like breaking it. The touchdown run, 6 yards, it's, you know, designed more straight on. He bounces it outside. He later that gets the 40-yarder or 42-yarder where he shows that burst. So I think ultimately, though, at receiver, you know, if you look at the snaps played, Terry's were in line with his norms. Noah Brown's were lower than last year. Not substantially lower, but a bit lower. And, you know, Chris Moore getting elevated, I thought – he could get elevated with the idea that maybe as a bit of a hedge in case something was wrong with Noah Brown, you know, couldn't quite go. But ultimately, I think it was because they just didn't get, you know, they weren't sure how many snaps they were going to get out of these guys. And also, Luke McCaffrey essentially only played like 5 or 6 snaps on offense. So, you know, Chris Moore basically was the fifth receiver. So while they had 6 receivers up, Luke McCaffrey was essentially just a special teams guy. So I think that's why that happened. And then in turn, you know, you can't keep everybody up. They kept up a fourth tight end. They kept up all the defensive backs, you know. So when you do some of these things, obviously you can't do everything. And I think that's why Rodriguez got dropped down. Plus, you know, this is the thing also with Debo Samuel. They kind of have a fourth running back at all times. So, you know, you don't quite need him. And then, you know, the actual quarterback in Jaden Daniels, you know, runs plenty. So that's why they didn't need four, but it was just like, hey, well, where else are you getting your playmaking from? And no, I did not have Chris Moore getting a 34-yard catch on my bingo card, but hey, they threw him the ball, and this time he caught it.
Right. How did Quinn, and we haven't played it yet, I will if it's worthwhile, how did he explain the end of the first half?
Yeah, Quinn talked simultaneously when we're all in the locker room, and I did not get to him this time. So I actually was wanted to hear more about what he had to say about that today. We'll talk to him in a few minutes to get his view of having watched the tape. I think watching it back myself, the one thing I wondered was it looked like Zach Ertz kind of, I don't know for sure, but it looked like he may have like stopped running his route in the back of the end zone. And he just sort of didn't roll, because it was like to have no receiver over there in that corner was weird. Like, independent of what Jaden did, like that there was nobody over there was sort of odd, and clearly Jaden thought somebody was going to be there. So I just wonder if maybe somebody, you know, stopped their route for whatever the reason. Obviously you can't have that. I know, again, listening to the broadcast, Brady was saying that when they called their last timeout with like 25 seconds left, that he didn't love that because he typically would want to hold on to one, that he kept harping on it throughout the rest of the series. Hey, now that you're here, you can't do this, you can't do that. And I don't know if you mentioned specifically you can't do intentional grounding, but it was obviously they were a bit rushed and not having that last time out, but proved costly there as much as anything.
Yeah, it was 28 seconds left. I actually disagreed with him, but what do I know? He's the greatest to ever play. I think what really hurt them was the quarterback draw in second and 10. They think that's either going to score or at least get a first down where they can then clock it. But Abdul Carter made a really good play, tackling Jaden a yard short of the sticks. We're talking to Ben Standig. Anything else like personnel-wise? I pointed out something that I was definitely looking for heading into this game, because I wasn't sure what the mix would be or if it would be consistent, but there's no doubt that, in pure third and long passing situations, we know who they think their best pass rushers are. It's Luvu, it's Miller, it's Payne, and it's Armstrong. They were out there for most of them. I think Kinlaw was out there for Payne on one of them. Offensive line had a good day. Clearly, they rushed the ball for 220 yards. But, did you get a sense as to what they thought about Connerly's first game?
Yeah, again, that's another thing. As much as we all wanted to ask Dan Quinn in real time, what'd you think? He's ultimately just like the rest of us. He's kind of, there's too many things happening to tell for sure. There was the one play where Brian Burns, easily got past Connerly for a sack, and that's, one that's going to sort of stand out. But, all things considered, I didn't think the Giants' defensive line was as, dominant as, I think some as feared a little bit because of the talent they have up front. So, I think you got to give credit to the line as a whole, and Connerly as part of that. I think Bill did a good job on the ground of getting more than was there at times. And with Jaden, he's obviously just going to be electric with the ball in his hands. So, I think the line did fine. I will say there was a stat I saw earlier today that basically when Jaden was in the pocket, when he faced four or fewer pass rushers, he was had a 121.9 passer rating, which was the second highest of his career. But against the blitz, he was only 3 of 9 for 29 yards with a 43.3 passer rating, which was the lowest of his career. Last year, he didn't set the record, but he had the highest QB rating versus the blitz of any rookie since 2018. Right. So that was unusual to see him struggle in that regard. But he's going to have to give up some pressure. Russell Wilson would have gladly only faced the pass rush pressure that Daniels is. He was getting it literally every other play. So and the line did fine, but it is interesting that Jaden struggled against the blitz in ways we have not seen before.
Yeah, he got sacked 3 times. I think one of them was clearly on him. Connerly Jr. got beat on another one, but Yeah, we'll see. Anything else other than, you know, short turnaround, and I think it's hard to know early in the season, but a much better opponent on the road Thursday night.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I guess that's the one takeaway. We already talked about the defensive line a little bit. You know, something that perked up, that, you know, had us all perk up back in May or June was when the coaching staff was talking about how Deron Payne looked focused. Yeah. And, you know, and all that. And you're like, okay, cool. And, you know, we recognize that while it's not technically a contract year, it's kind of a contract year. And the last time was easily the best year of his career. And then you're like, okay, well, is this going to, you know, is this a real thing? And then we saw the performance yesterday. Yes, this looks like it's going to be a real thing. And he, you know, he said after the game that, you know, a lot of people have already, you know, written him off and, you know, this, that, and the other. And he's like, hey, you know, might as well just go out there and play as hard as I can. Yeah, good. Just assume everybody has written you off, Deron. We do have questions about what happened the last 2 years when you got paid that just weren't nearly as impressive as what, you know, sort of we saw yesterday. And that's fine. The thing with this defense is, everybody was lamenting the fact that they didn't get a Trey Hendrickson or a Myles Garrett, or they didn't draft a defensive end high, meaning they don't really, they may have some talent, but they don't really have that one sort of game wrecker. And, you know, maybe that guy is ultimately going to be Javon Kinlaw based on yesterday. We'll see. But Deron Payne, we know from a talent perspective, has that game. If he's able to collapse the pocket consistently, that changes the whole calculus of what they have, because now you do have a guy who's Pro Bowl worthy along with the other pieces. So if that continues for him specifically, I really think this defense then could go, you know, up a notch like we saw yesterday. So that to me was the most interesting part of this. You know, contract year Deron felt like that was a real thing, and now after that game, it sure does even more.
Yeah, I think a part of it, too, could be he's not going to be the guy that has to eat up all the double teams with Kinlaw in there, and gives him a chance, you know, one-on-one more often than maybe he's had in the last couple of years. Thanks. Appreciate it. I'll talk to you later.
Awesome, man. See ya.
Ben Standig, everybody. When we come back, you'll hear some of what Dan Quinn said post-game, and then we'll go around the NFL and talk about, for sure, last night's incredible Baltimore-Buffalo game, where the Bills came from 15 down in the final 4 minutes of the game to beat the Ravens 41-40. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and the Team980.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab 3 of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It's Boomer and Geo. Mornings on the Fan, 101.9 FM.
I want players who want to play. I don't want players who are off the injured. I want players who give a crap. And I really feel like, you know, since, Thibodeau got here and Leon Rose got here, and I guess you could say World Wide West, that they've tried to bring in players who kind of mirrored that kind of thinking.
Listen to Boomer and Geo on demand on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You didn't learn anything new about Jaden Daniels today, did you, that you didn't know?
He talk a lot. Cool dude, but he talk a lot. I don't want to talk to you.
That was Brian Burns for the Giants saying Jaden talks a lot. There's a meme of Jaden just kind of smiling and giggling at him as he's running away from him on a scramble. It's way too early to start nitpicking on some of this stuff, but, you know, we had G and Paulie and Neil and a couple of others just mention, and it's something you've seen with Mahomes. When they're that gifted and that talented and they know they can overcome, you know, a play that may not go their way, which is, of course, what you want, sometimes it gets a little bit too casual at times. I'm not accusing him of that yet, but he is having a great time. It is very light. I understand he's a very serious, you know, prep and work ethic. But there are some plays when you watch it, it's almost like, yeah, maybe you just hit the check down now and we just, you know, get 9 yards and move on to it. Or maybe you just get to the sideline rather than taking on a tackler. As he did on an early read option keeper, he could have easily gotten to the sideline. You know, he's generational talent-wise. And the confidence goes with the talent and with the understanding that he is prepared. Yesterday, there was nothing that they were going to do, you know, with the exception of just hand the ball to Thibodeau or Abdul Carter and say run it in for a touchdown, where they could have lost that game. I mean, I don't care at 14-6 Giants having the ball. Were you ever watching this football game worried about win versus loss? No. The fact that they let them hang in there long enough where they had the ball down 8, you know, with a chance, but the chances were slim and none that they were going to punch it into the end zone after a long drive. Not yesterday, not with that quarterback playing. Big spot. It's week 2. It's still very early in the season, and it's not do or die, make or break by any stretch, but it is going to be a much better test on Thursday night at Lambeau in front of that crowd and a team that is talented and really dominated the Detroit Lions yesterday in the opener 27-13. I think it's talent-wise, you know, adding obviously Parsons to, you know, Walker and Gary and you know, Van Ness and, you know, the guys that they have defensively, they got a chance, Green Bay does, to have a very, very good defensive team in 2025. And personally, I am a fan of Jordan Love. I think he can play. Josh Jacobs obviously can. They've got some playmakers. Jaden Reed's got speed and playmaking ability. We'll see. I'm pulling up the box score right now, but did the receiver that they've been raving about, you know, the Texas kid, Golden, did he have a good game? We'll get to it in around the NFL. I'll have the numbers for you coming up. I did want to play some Dan Quinn for you out of yesterday's post-game press conference that we have not had a chance to get to yet. This was Quinn overall on the game and saying there is a lot to clean up.
There's plenty to clean up, I thought, you know, prior to the next game, that part. But I wanted to make sure identity, toughness, physicality, like that is how we get down and how we play. We knew this to be a line of scrimmage game on both sides. You know, their defensive line, our offensive line, you know, was going to be a battle. I liked how we took care of the ball. We did not create any, and so that's a big deal for us. I thought they did a good job of taking care of it. It didn't seem like it was in harm's way, but I thought the inside guys battled and the outside guys were going to get tested. And so that was defensively what I thought would happen. Offensively, I thought we hurt ourselves with some penalties that created some tough, you know, to go third downs to go. So we didn't get quite as many ops as I would have liked. But at the end, to finish with the ball at the game, that's the toughness. That's the winning time moments that we talk about. So that part I'm pleased with. But lots to clean up. But I'm pleased with the win.
Yeah, penalties, some negative plays. I mentioned already, this team's ability to overcome disadvantaged down and distance situations was something we watched all last year, and it continued yesterday against a good defense. But the 2nd and 15, 2nd and 21, 2nd and 16, 2nd and 14, you're supposed to punt on most of those. And they don't on most of them. It is obviously quarterback-led, but you got to give everybody credit, including Cliff Kingsbury, for extricating themselves out of ugly at times down and distance situations. They got to stay out of those. Much better, 7 yards on first down, no third down. They had 11 third downs. Part of that is because of what happened on first down and what they have to overcome on second down. But it is amazing to watch this group over the last, 20 games last year, one game this year. Second and 16 is far from a death sentence in terms of the drive. I mean, it is still probably even money that they're not punting. And yesterday, they didn't get themselves through second and third down into a fourth and go for it situation. They just typically either converted on second down or they didn't, but they overcame four long second down situations. It's impressive to watch them do that. This was Dan Quinn overall on the overall defense.
Yeah, I really thought that was a strong performance. And you heard me talk about identity, the tackling. We didn't create the takeaways today, but, man, seeing some plays down inside the 10-yard line, the red zone, the guys have worked hard at that. And for our new players that are added to our group, I thought that was a good, mix of what they can be. And J.K. and Will and Vaughn and some of the others that I spoke to post-game, just knowing they're a big part of what we're doing and how we're going to improve. So I was pleased to see, especially down in the low red zone, I thought that was the real game-changer part of this game. Two stops down there, that was a big deal.
I think this first game is way too premature to say, okay, totally different season with respect to the defense than last year. And it's because of the opponent. With that said, I think the personnel difference, I think Kinlaw looks the part size-wise, athletic-wise. Payne looked different yesterday. Amos, some of the length that they have and some of the speed, they can run better on the back end. I thought also the tackling was better. Now, Neighbors ended up with 5 catches, 71 yards, turned Amos around early on an incredible route, but he was targeted 12 times, only had 5 catches, and a couple of them were, significant, contested catch situations for him. He is special, no doubt. But it's too early to declare anything. Week one's always too early to declare anything, but you have to take into consideration they were playing against, I think now, a backup quarterback in the NFL. They won't do that on Thursday night. This was Dan Quinn on, having a game in which they didn't have to rely on Jaden Daniels to be Superman.
That was a big deal, and I love the run at the end and with Bill at the end. But you're right, Dave, because that's what it's going to take. It's going to take all of us. So for guys to step in, I was pleased to see Debo, get to kind of express that play of being aggressive. If you'd ask us, I would say we had too many, the 50-50 balls and drops and penalties that were not, what were normal there. But to know that we can lean on one another, and I know you've heard me say this before, but I do like our team, and that's how you have to win games some way, in different phases to go through it. And so to be able to lean in on the defense today, I thought that was a good sign.
Yeah, one of the things, and I had Quinn on, a week and a half ago, I guess, and I asked him, when do you know the kind of team you have? And he admitted sometimes it's several games into a year before you really have an understanding of what you have. But what you do learn about your team, even over the offseason of OTAs and mini camp days and training camp, is you learn what kind of culture and what kind of work ethic and what kind of identity the team is going to have. And that's something he focused on last year with Adam Peters, and it's continued this year. They are looking to be a physical, fast-playing, hard-playing group all of the time. We saw that pretty much is a consistent theme to even some of the losses last year. And we saw that yesterday, man. They were playing fast. They were playing, you know, the old, you know, hair on fire adage, urgently, physically hitting. You know, some of it cost them with some of the penalties. Penalties of aggression, you know, are, I think, okay for a lot of coaches. Now, the aggression when it turns into not necessarily prudent or wise, like the Lattimore penalty in the first half. Lattimore had one of those, remember, last year in the NFC Championship game as well. They got to clean some of that stuff up. But, you know, they have an identity. We'll find out in the coming weeks if that, you know, beyond identity, they have enough supporting cast offensively and a good enough defense where week in and week out, they don't have to rely on Jaden to bail them out. They had a 15-point win in the opener yesterday. The opponent had something to do with that. You know, they did not have to attempt a fourth down. You know, all the conversation about, well, they'll never duplicate the fourth down percentage. They'll never duplicate it. It'll regress, you know, regress to the mean, which is absurd for any mathematician, on the fourth quarter comebacks or the, you know, late game wins. Well, maybe they won't have many of those this year. Maybe they'll have multiple double-digit wins. Maybe there will only be five or six games that come down to the wire and to the fourth quarter rather than 12 games or 11 games that come down to the wire. You know, I pointed out this Josh Allen deal. The first year he started was his second year, and there were a lot of close games. And people said, well, he can't do it. You know, there's going to be sort of this regression to the mean on the close comeback wins and fourth quarter, you know, game-winning drives, etc. But the following year, they just didn't have them. They just blew everybody out. Offensively, they were just incredible. And his touchdown to interception ratio was unbelievable. The yards went up, you know, exponentially, and they went 13-3 and didn't have the same number of close games. That is always a possibility. For this team, for that to be a possibility, they've got to be better on defense. You know, they've got to create more opportunities, and it would be nice to create the short field. You didn't need that yesterday with a takeaway or two because you held them to 3.7 yards per play. But takeaways, they've emphasized takeaways and tackling. I thought tackling was really good yesterday. They didn't get a takeaway. This was Quinn on Josh Connerly Jr.'s debut.
We knew this is going to be a tough matchup, just with the, you know, style of Burns and, you know, Carter going to be there, Thibodeau, and like good matchups, good tough things. But one thing that I've learned about Connerly, like he really does like a challenge. And in the early part of training camp, Kenny was good. I was seeing it, and then we went to New England, boom, and he elevated. And when you are a young player and you get your first start, there's things you like, things you don't. Same with Amos, to say, okay, you got a PI. I thought it was a good aggressive play. How do we learn from it? And so the fact that it'll be a division game, now he'll have something to pull back on for when we play them, you know, weeks from now. So all of those things matter. Like the younger you are, man, like you want to like eat experience. I need him. I need every bit of it. And so you grow, you make mistakes, you fail some, you do well. And then he's the type of player that does learn from it. And so that's kind of what happens as you grow. And they seem to grow faster, you know, when you have the mindset, like, I'm not going to do that again. I liked how this went. And Josh certainly has that.
There are positions, we know this as NFL fans, where starting your first year, first game, it's going to be a challenge. Left tackle, corner, quarterback, obviously. You know, the positions where sometimes you see young players make a major impact in their first game are the positions that take less in terms of overall responsibilities. Running back, sometimes at wide receiver, although sometimes that position too, you know, you get a experience, gives you a feel for route, you know, coverages and how to handle those coverages. But starting as a rookie at left tackle against, as he said, you know, the Burnses and the Abdul Carters and the Okereke's and the players that the Giants have on defense, they've got very good players on defense. sometimes it's a challenge. One more from Quinn. I wanted to give you what he said yesterday about the secondary, very much a revamped secondary with Trey Amos and Will Harris out there. Here's what he said about their game yesterday against New York.
This is a strong receiving core, we thought. You know, coming in, I thought the strength of New York was, you know, receivers, D-line, and those would be kind of the areas that they would push us and test us. I thought Russ is somebody that can just throw a fantastic deep ball, and they did test us. So to see us battle for it downfield, that was a big, you know, step in the right direction for us, knowing that's how you got to play, that's what life outside is. And to see them deliver, that was a big piece for us.
Yeah. And look, Sanders still, Lattimore and Amos were pretty much on the field for, you know, they're in nickel a lot of the time with all three out there. And by the way, you can afford to be that way when you can stop the run without, you know, adding to the box. And they did that yesterday for sure. All right, we'll keep you posted. Quinn's going to hold his Monday presser on anything he says today, if it happens before the end of the show. When we come back, though, we'll go around the NFL and we'll start in Buffalo last night with one of the best week one games we have ever seen.
All right. Happy Victory Monday, Commanders fans. It is September 8th. My name is Max Ames. Here is what's happening in the world of DC sports. The Washington Commanders, they beat the New York Giants by a score of 21-6. The biggest story of the game, the revamped defensive line looked very solid, keeping Russell Wilson in check. First time Commanders defense has held an opposing team to zero touchdowns since they beat the Dallas Cowboys 25-3 in Week 7 of 2020. It is also the first time a Washington defense has held the opposing team to no touchdowns in a Week 1 game for the first time since 1999. The Mystics, they get drubbed by the Indiana Fever last night by a score of 94-65. The Nats, they beat the Cubs 6-3. Mason Thompson gets credited with the win. Jose A. Ferrer gets the save after the Nats score five runs in the top of the ninth inning, including a three-run home run from Josh Bell. The Nats head down to Miami tonight to take on the Marlins. First pitch at 6:40. Nats on deck with Charlie and Dave at 6:10 on the Fan. This update is sponsored by the Team 980 YouTube page. Just open the app, type in the Team 980, hit subscribe. Kevin Sheehan is live every day from 10 to 1. You can catch Den's office throughout all of football season. Don't forget to hit the like button whenever you do decide to join us and turn on notifications to stay up to date on all things DC sports. And that is what's trending.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It's Boomer and Geo. Mornings on the Fan, 101.9 FM.
They're looking for a point guard who's logged a lot of games in the NBA, who is going to run an offense that they trust when Jalen Brunson's on the bench and or if he gets hurt.
Listen to Boomer and Geo on demand on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's up for a game-winning field goal. 2 yards, Prater made it, and the Bills open their final season in this stadium with a stunning comeback win.
Did you play the play? Okay, because you had me down there. So that was the game-winning field goal?
That was. I accidentally dropped the Trey Tucker touchdown before that. That was my bad,
right,
folks.
So Buffalo last night pulled off an absolute incredible comeback and beat the Ravens 41-40 in a game I think we will look back on during the course of the year and wonder how many games can top it. First of all, let me just begin with this. The first part of this game, it's like, my God. I mean, the two teams were so ready. They looked so much like, you know, what we saw last year. It's week one. Even when you have two really good teams playing each other in week one, it can look sloppy. It can look nothing like what it would look like in October or November or December or January. But these were two teams, you know, clicking at a high level, and Baltimore more so. Baltimore had 155 yards rushing in the first half. They couldn't stop the run. You know, Buffalo was supposed to be better defensively this year. That was, you know, Buffalo is the favorite to win the Super Bowl, or they were before last night. Maybe they still are. Baltimore was favored in the game. We talked about that, remember, Max, on Friday. And when it started off, it was like, oh, yeah, I mean, Derrick Henry is from a different planet. This guy now, you know, at 31 years old, 32 years old, you know, we're now talking about year two in Baltimore after he rushed for nearly 2,000 yards last year. God, man, to think that in 2016 he was a second-round pick and Washington selected Josh Doctson. My fault. No, it wasn't my fault. Derrick Henry was incredible last night. Lamar Jackson was incredible last night. You know, Buffalo had no receivers last year, or we didn't think they did. I love the way Keon Coleman looks. I love the way they threw to Josh Palmer from the Chargers. He looks good. I mean, this was the battle of incredible play by quarterbacks and playmakers. And, I mean, last year's MVP against a two-time MVP. It was just an incredible football game. You know, it's 20-13 at halftime. Incredible job by Buffalo to get a field goal at the end of the half. Baltimore then takes a commanding 40-25 lead. They miss the extra point on the touchdown that made it 40-25, which really ultimately hurt them significantly. But you get down to the final 4 minutes, and Buffalo is down by 15. They score a touchdown. They kick on this extra point. They probably went for two too early in some of the other situations. And then you get an unbelievable turn of events. Derrick Henry, who ended up with 169 yards in the game on 18 carries, if you're wondering what that computes to, 9.4 yards per carry. He had in the game touchdown runs of 30 yards, and then his other touchdown run was 46 yards in the game. He fumbled late in the game. I mean, a devastating fumble. At 40-25, even with Buffalo scoring, you're like, I don't know, can they get off the field on defense? And a great play by Ed Oliver, who had an excellent game. And four plays later, they're in the end zone. But they missed the two-point conversion with under two to go in the game. Now, Buffalo still got three timeouts. They're down 40-38. And for, I think, pretty much the only time in the game, they force a punt in three or out. Actually, they had one other three and out in the game. They used up their timeouts, and then Baltimore's got a 4th and 2, 4th and 3 from their own 38, a minute 33 left, up 40-38. Sorry, that's a go-for-it situation. You cannot punt the ball and give it to Josh Allen up two. You cannot do that. I wonder if I would think differently up three. I definitely feel differently up four. But up two, even though they don't have timeouts left, they're going to get the ball back with about a minute 25 to go. 4th and 2, 4th and 3 somewhere, probably 4th and 2.5. I think with Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry from your own 38-yard line, you have to go for that, period. They didn't. They punted. The Ravens, so analytically driven. I don't know what the analytics say there. I know in the moment I said you cannot punt the football and give it to Josh Allen or you are going to lose, or certainly they're going to have a field goal attempt to beat you. And it might be a short one because he's got plenty of time to get down the field. I'm surprised they didn't go for that. Derrick Henry, Lamar Jackson, seriously? You're not going to go for fourth and less than three to end the game? They didn't. They punted. Buffalo drove the ball down the field and into field goal range, and Matt Prater booted it through at the end of the game. There were a couple of things that were really interesting about the last 20-some seconds. First of all, on the field goal attempt itself, my God, Kyle Hamilton, how did he not block the field goal? Did you see him? Go watch the game-winning field goal from Prater. Kyle Hamilton breaks through the line of scrimmage, and he's right there. You gotta lay out and go for it. And he didn't. The ball went almost through his arms, it looked like. That ball should have been blocked by Kyle Hamilton on that kick. Secondly, about that final kick, they took their final knee with 33 seconds to go after Baltimore had called their final timeout. And, you know, they had the field goal team come out, line up, kick, and they snapped the ball with 2 seconds to go. They got really tight. You know, they've planned this, they've worked on it, but I'm sure they'd like the ball snapped with about 3 or 4 seconds to go rather than have it get down to 2. I kept thinking, can you imagine if they're, you know, because the kicker has to take those steps and get his steps marked off before, you know, the holder looks at the kicker and the kicker says yes, and then the holder, you know, looks at the snapper and says we're ready. You know, those guys aren't looking at the clock. They've got it, you know, I'm sure timed out, and it worked, and they kicked it through as the clock expired. I had a tweet from somebody that said, do you think that Baltimore called their last timeout too early? They called their last timeout with 33 seconds to go after Josh Allen knelt for the second time, you know, sort of in the middle of the field to size it up for, to straighten it out for Prater. It's a really good tweet. I want to give the guy credit for it. Whatever. I have a lot tweets to get back to where you sent this to me. Jim Cy Yang tweeted me and said, time management question, Kevin. When should Harbaugh have called that last timeout? I would have called it with 18 seconds left so that they couldn't do what they did without rushing the kick. The third down becomes super interesting for the Bills. I love that. Because, yes, he called it with 33 seconds to go. After that last kneel down, he could have let the clock run and called it with 18. Now, with 18 seconds left, I think Josh Allen's going to take the third down snap, roll right, burn 5, 6, 7 seconds, and throw the ball out of bounds. But to your point, they're not kicking it with the clock expiring. They're kicking it with maybe 11. Maybe the thing to do there is to not call it with 33, but to call it with about 25. Then it gets a bit dicey for them to kneel because they will be rushing it. And if they take the, you know, sprint out, throw an incompletion, maybe there are 18, 17 seconds left when they kick the field goal. It at least gives Lamar a shot if, say, the kick goes into the end zone and you get it at the 35. You know, plus this guy Tyler Loop's got a huge leg. I love that idea, Jim Cy Yang. That makes a lot of sense. Calling it at 33 allowed Buffalo to do what they did, which is take another knee, roll the clock, have the field goal team come out, even though you don't have a timeout, and run the clock down to, as they did, zeros. You take that timeout a little bit later at, you know, I would say 23, 24, 25. Then you get into that scenario in which maybe they're risking it, kneeling it, and if they do kneel it, they're going to have to really rush. Incredible football game. Two MVPs. You know, I heard Orlovsky say this morning that he doesn't think that Josh Allen's ever played a better football game. He's had some incredible games, especially in the postseason. He was 33 of 46 for 394, 2 touchdowns in the game. And Keon Coleman looks the part. You know, he was their second round pick out of Florida State last year. And he's a big dude. He's like 6'4", 6'5". And I love the acquisition of Joshua Palmer. I think he looks really good. DeAndre Hopkins had a sick touchdown catch. Just a great football game. Incredible football game. Buffalo, you know, their schedule, I heard them talking about it this morning on one of the shows. They have the Chiefs. They have Houston. But they got the AFC East. And then they've got, you know, Cleveland on the schedule. They've got Miami on the schedule. Carolina on the schedule. They got the NFC South. So Buffalo now, if they weren't, they were already a big favorite to win the AFC East and maybe grab the one seed. They are probably right now the front runner to get the one seed in the AFC, especially holding a victory over Baltimore. An incredible football game last night at Highmark, the last season opener at that stadium in Orchard Park before their new stadium opens next year. We don't have enough time to go through the rest of the NFL card. We'll do that on tomorrow's show because there were great games. I mean, Bucks-Falcons was a phenomenal football game. Steelers-Jets. I'm telling you guys, Aaron Rodgers was not the problem in New York. Okay, he looked like Aaron Rodgers a lot of last year. Their kicking game was terrible. The organization was dysfunctional. Their defense didn't play well. Aaron Rodgers looked like Aaron Rodgers yesterday. Four touchdown passes. I'll tell you what was scary for the Steelers is their inability, pass defense-wise, to stop Justin Fields. They had major issues, if you recall, at the end of last year, stopping people from a pass defense standpoint. But a big hit by Jalen Ramsey to end that game. 49ers, Seahawks, Rams, Texans. Some really compelling Week 1 games and some shockers like Daniel Jones and the Colts running the Dolphins out of the building. Man, it seems like Mike McDaniel might not be a guy that makes it the entire season. But again, going back to what I said at the very beginning of the show, bringing it full circle, Week 1, don't make any big-time proclamations or bets on what you saw in Week 1. It tends to be, you know, very much fool's gold for this season. All right, Monday Night Football tonight, Minnesota and Chicago. We get to see what Detroit was missing yesterday in the form of Ben Johnson as a head coach, see how he gets it together with Caleb Williams. Should be an interesting game to watch J.J. McCarthy's debut as well. That is it for the day. Back tomorrow, Chris Russell takes his swing at yesterday's game next.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It's Boomer and Geo. Mornings on the Fan, 101.9 FM.
I want players who want to play. I don't want players who are oft injured. I want players who give a crap. And I really feel like, you know, since, Thibodeau got here and Leon Rose got here, and I guess you could say World Wide West, that they've tried to bring in players who kind of mirrored that kind of thinking.
Listen to Boomer and Geo on demand on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.